When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam.
Hey, welcome to Brenda MMA Roasted Podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes and his cat. It's going to be a great, great show, I think. Or it could be the worst show because the wife, I'm in Tennessee in the comedy condo. It's not really a condo. It's like a hotel. It's a place called the Choo Choo Room. It's trains everywhere. I'm in a fucking just trains. And there's like restaurants and trains, and the comedy club is at a train, and I'm in a train. And in order for me to like, there's no front desk. I had to. I don't even know where I am. I'm in the flat suite, but the Wi-Fi is like, dude. I like flew in last night. I get to the airport at like 12:30 at night, and I do a show at a dispensary, which are always the best shows. But it's not a dispensary. It's like a comedy club. Thing that's like sponsored by dispensaries, so everyone's high as fuck. Those are the only shows you want to go on early. Like that's when you want to go on first, because second, yeah. By the fourth comic, anything that takes too long to think, people are just, and there's like some like four black dudes laughing at everything. They're getting high, some hot white stripper, and I'm like, when's the gangbang start? Like they're just ready. It's just, it's one of those things. My wife came, she like saw me do comedy again, so like, I think she fell in love with me again. Not that she wasn't in love with me before, but she actually found something that I'm good at, you know? So that was good. And then, let me see what the Wi-Fi, it's on a piece of paper. That info is wrong. So now I'm going, anyway, this is a great show. The info is wrong. So then I get to the flight and I'm so stoned, and all of a sudden they cancel the flight. They're like, listen, oh, your flight got canceled. But nobody told me. So now I'm looking through my emails and texts. I'm like, no, they're like, oh yeah, we had you on last night's flight. I'm like, well, it's not last, well, they're like, oh, don't worry, we can get you there, but it's gonna be a 12-hour layover in Houston.
Holy shit.
So I get to Houston at 6 o'clock in the morning and I don't leave till 4 in the afternoon. So now I'm sleeping on the floor in the airport, like a homeless, people are giving me dollar bills. And I'm stoned from the dispensary show.
From smoking for secondhand smoke, was it just
both,
like
both. Yeah. I got high before I got, so now I'm like hungry the whole time, but there's no food on the plane, but I'm starving. But then they said you can put your mask down if you eat, so I just bought like 12 bags of Skittles. I just ate the entire time. So I have to wear the mask because I'm like high, I can't breathe anyway. So then I go right to the show, and I get there, the show happened to be great. It was like just people just ready to laugh, having a good time. And now here I am. And now I'm teaching a wrestling seminar for Toothless Tom tomorrow. Anyway, how are you?
I'm not nearly as dramatic in my life, man. Why do they have, what's up with the trains there? Is that where they invented the train or something?
I haven't even figured that out.
Run trains in the condo or what's the thing?
Like, it's called the Choo Choo. I wanted to bring my kid because there's like an arcade and then there's like, there's restaurants and trains. The trains don't move. They're just like broken down trains, and then everything is in a train. I went from
it's one of those towns where there used to be an industry. There used to be an industry there, and now it's just a fucking ghost town. And they're like, yeah. Look, we used to make things here.
It's like me, and then Rusted Roots playing sometimes. Some like they're.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, that they're playing. So that's crazy. And then I'm on stage last night, and there was a guy with a date with a girl. I'm like, oh, are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend? And the guy goes, it's debatable. Like, and then she was like, she got mad. She's like, I'm like, well, what date is it? She's like, fifth. I go, have you guys had sex yet? He's like, no. So like after a fifth date, you're really not sleeping with the person. Right? I mean, if you're not, if I'm like, anything, he's like, not really. if you take a girl out five times and there's no action, you're just buying her shit. You're not really going on a date at that point. You're just like, you're just paying for something.
You're a sponsor.
You're
sponsoring her.
Yes. Speaking of a guy who's been on lots of dates, Jake Ellenberger is here. The juggernaut.
Yeah.
One of my favorite fighters. How are you?
Me too.
Jake doesn't know that his sound's off, but that's okay. That's what happens. You get punched in the face a lot. And he's like, he goes, really? Holy shit. How's it going? Jake's the only guy whose cauliflower ear gets worse after fighting. So still not working, Jake, my man. Hold on. Some reason is like, is there any kind of, are you on mute or, cause I see that you're muted. Now you're not muted. Can you hear him, Bill, or is it just me?
No. Is he just not talking?
Well, he knew.
Are you talking, Jake?
Yeah, he actually doesn't talk that much, but now he is talking. There was one podcast where like the Al Iaquinta, I go, what do you think of Jake Ellenberger? And he's like, I don't know. He's a good guy, I guess. I'm like, he was on the show. He goes, why? Is he fucking there? I'm like, yeah, that's why I asked you. So that was, remember that show, Jake? Why don't we just have you nod the whole time? We'll just have you nod.
Yeah, can you pantomime some of your greatest knockouts? Can you just show us how you did them? Pantomime, yeah.
The fucking knee over Jake Shields was my favorite. That was unbelievable. The flying knee on Jake Shields, holy shit. That was awesome. I mean, yeah. Jake has some power. I mean, he besides Woodley, he hurt Wonderboy the most. Who else did he knock out? He knocked out Jake, who else did you knock out? Pele in 8 seconds. And then he fought Pele, who had beat like Matt Hughes. Pele was like he didn't know who the guy was. Jake didn't. He thought he was like the Mexican janitor. He was Brazilian, but Jake thought he was and then Jake just knocked him out in 8 seconds. And then his team was like, oh, by the way, that guy was a world champion. That's how Jake rolled back in the day.
Jake is like being a fan of, oh, he's out now.
He just knocked himself out. That's how fucking Hardy. That's how hard he hits. He knocks himself.
So, well, we got to compliment him a little bit before he disappeared.
Yeah, that was actually his best appearance so far on the podcast, just so you know. That was that was the most exciting. So meanwhile, this guy fucking asked me like 10 times to get his guy on, this bare knuckle fighter. So I give him the, he asked me like 6 times, when's he on, could you get him on? I give him the Zoom, and then he sends me the guy's phone number. I'm like, bro, I just gave you the info. Like you can't speak on behalf of somebody. Now I got to text this guy. Jake, are you here? Fuck, I still can't hear Jake. But it's crazy because I can hear everyone but Jake. Like, if I couldn't hear you, Bill, I'd be like, maybe this is me. Let's see, hold on. Let's see. Unmute all.
That's how bad MMA pays. You can't even afford a computer with audio.
Jake, talk. Fuck, man. You think maybe this is you? Maybe this is not like a simulation, as they call it. Like, this isn't even happening, this podcast. This is all by the way, Jake had 7 more kids during the podcast. Like, when I met Jake, he was a virgin. He was a virgin. Like, he had not gotten laid. Now, Jake, you're here. I think I can hear him this time. Jake.
How about that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Yes.
Yes. Damn, okay.
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good, good, good.
I'm on my phone, but it's, you know, it's whatever. I was talking, and I'm like, well, fuck, no one can hear me. So, Jake, anyway, we're good.
Jake is such a nice guy that, like, I was driving back from Vegas at night. It was midnight. No, from Arizona. And I called Jake, and he knew I was driving, and he stayed on the phone with me for 3 hours. Like, he's like, oh, you still driving? Yeah, and he wouldn't get off the phone with me. Like, I was like, yo, I gotta go, because I felt like I was annoying him. I was asking him everything. And he was like, that's the kind of guy Jake is. Jake's one of those, if I had a dead body, I was like, Jake, I gotta get rid of this body. He'd be one of the guys I call. He'd probably have 3 of his own, you know, somewhere. But that's how good of a friend you are. So Jake, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks. No, it's always entertaining. So we were just telling stories. It was fun.
So you said that you're like leaving this week. Where are you going?
Oh, we just got a little family getaway planned. So, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to hit take the kids out, you know, get out of town for a little bit. So.
Yeah, he never gives you any details about what's going on. Like the worst.
Yeah, it sounds very cloak and dagger.
If Jake would lose a fight, I wouldn't hear from him for like 3 weeks. And then at 5 in the morning, he would call me. And he'd be like, I'm at a casino. I'm okay. And just hang up. Like, that's how he, like, in the middle of Nebraska, he'd be by himself playing fucking, like, you know, three card Monty or something, whatever the fuck he plays at the casino. Great. I think we're all frozen now. Is everybody frozen? So Jake, you've been training over. One of the things we're talking about is that you've been training over at Extreme Couture, right?
Yeah.
And how's that going?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's that going?
No, it's been good. Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. You know, it's funny. I've known a lot of those guys for a long time, but it's fun. There's a lot of young, a lot of studs, a lot of up and comers. But no, I mean, I love it. I'm gonna forever be training. So because it's good to be around good people, you know, and they got a good dynamic there. So,
is there any chance of a comeback, Jake?
Oh, not really.
No chance to come back?
No, not right now. I mean.
But when you're out there and you're competing against a real stud and you get the better of them, don't you kind of think like, wait a second, I still got it?
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that happens more, you know, I'm going with good guys, you know, and I feel great. But, you know, for me, it's just like, you got to continue to, you know, what are you fighting for? It's like, yeah, there's.
Well, are you supposed to be focusing on MMA or jujitsu or Muay Thai? Is there an element of the training that you're mostly focused on? Because you're not a black belt yet in jujitsu, are you?
No, not in the gi, huh? But no,
is that something you're looking to do?
Yeah, no, definitely finish that. But yeah, I've been kind of I'd say coaching a little bit, but not like you know, I've been MMA training. I shouldn't say I would say I'm not. I haven't been focusing like something specific, but. But helping guys like getting ready for fights and stuff, and just it's been a lot of fun. So I can kind of take wear the other hat, you know, as more of a coach. But it's kind of give my insight of what I see. So it's fun.
Now, one of the funniest things you told me is that like one day, all of a sudden, like Dagestan will show up, right? Like 13 random guys from Dagestan that are all killers, and they won't even tell you guys. They're like, oh yeah, Ali sent some guys, right? Do you ever get nervous to like go with those guys because you don't know who the fuck they are?
No, we'll see. Like wrestling, yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good question. But wrestling, grappling, I'll go with anybody. But like sparring, there's like I mean, there's a handful of guys I could tell you right now. It's like we're not gonna spar. We'll fight, and because we know that's what's gonna happen. I'm not gonna, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of me sparring? I don't fight. I'm retired. You know what I mean? Like, I'll move around with guys. We'll go light. We'll you know, I'll give them a good look. But it's like, if I'm putting on headgear, like, why am I putting on headgear? Because you're gonna try to knock me out.
But didn't they tell you were telling me how that like you had to go with Chimaev the other day, right? Like Chimaev shows up and they like all of a sudden threw you into
yeah.
How did that go?
No, he's a stud, man. He's incredible. But yeah, we move around light, like, you know, he knows I'd let him know. Like, it's, you know, I'm retired, I'm not fighting, so. But yeah, we'll move around light, and dude, he's good everywhere though. Like, we'll wrestle, we'll grapple. Like, dude is good, man.
Do you ever have the moment where like you're go ahead.
No, go on.
I was gonna say you're going light, and all of a sudden there's a shot that comes in, and you're like, oh shit, it's on, and it goes from going light to like a pseudo fight. Yeah. You ever have that happen?
It used to happen a lot more. Nowadays, not so much. I mean, everybody there's cool. They all respect me too. So it's like. And I'll tell them, you can, you know, light me up in the body. Like, those guys try to drop me in the body shots all the time. But, you know, I'm like, if you're going to start throwing, heavies, like, but no, I mean, everyone's pretty respectful there too. So it's like, you know, there's certain guys, you know, that you can go hard with, and some guys it comes down to who you trust. Like, there's a couple guys, I think that are Russian that want to go hard. And I'm like, no, like, yeah. With you next time, I'm like, you know, like, I don't fight anymore. You know that, right? Like, they knew who I am, and they're like, want to go hard. I'm like, no, like, there's no point. What's the point?
But you've trained with like Anderson Silva. You train with Dan Henderson. You train with like the best guys, Bisping, so many champions. They're calling Chimaev like Khabib 2.0. And that he's going to be like the next big thing in MMA. Do you see it?
Yeah. In a lot of ways, I mean, it's hard to say. It really is. Like, I don't see many. I don't see any holes in his game. I don't see anywhere like he's going to be exposed. Like they use, like they like to use that word exposed. But yeah, he's incredible. I mean, you know, we'll see when he starts facing like the top five, top 10 guys. But yeah, from what I've seen in training, he's incredible. He is every bit of what they say.
Wow, and that's I like know you because you'll just smile, or you'll say things like, I don't know. You never know when the fight happens. Yeah, anything. Yeah, everybody's got two hands and two feet. Like you say things like that. So I like know there's like codes, you know, Bill, like when you ask a guy if he trains somebody, there's a code of like, how do you think he's going to do? And he goes, well, depends who shows up. That means not good, you know, or, you know, everybody's got a chance in there. You're like, oh, this dude's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to be competitive. It's going to be competitive. That means like,
yeah. It's going to be competitive means the guy's going to get the shit beaten out of him.
Or better when guys say, I want a war. I want a war. For what? I want the easiest guy and get paid the most so I can have a quick night and see you. Like, what are you? I want a war. No, you don't. Shut up.
I don't know. You don't think like someone like Diego Sanchez back in the day really didn't want a war? I mean, that guy wanted a war.
Well, he's a little different breed.
All right. So last night in CFFC, a guy's finger fell off. Did you see what happened? Jake, Bill?
I just saw a picture.
Okay. So Bill, you didn't see
what happened? What happened?
So this guy from Russia, and if anyone ever doubts who the toughest people in the world are, just watch this. Because the Russian guy didn't even fucking flinch. Like, it was as if, like, the Russian guy, like, stubbed his toe. Like, all right, so the guy blocks a head kick, or he blocked it, and his finger broke. His finger broke on the block, right? And you kind of see it. Then the other guy, you don't really see it, but against the cage, like, he pulled off the guy's finger, which, look, I mean, I don't even know if that's just not even be legal. I mean, like, if you're going to try to, like, yeah. So then the guy's finger got lost in his own glove and they were looking for his finger. They had like, so they stopped the fight in the second round and like, they were looking for, I mean, I'm making jokes like, check Bilal Muhammad's eye socket, you know, and Bilal fucking gave me a funny meme, or like, this would never happen to Nick Newell, you know, because he's got one. All right, but so it was, but yeah, they found his finger in the glove, like in the glove. And then he went to the hospital and they just fucking stapled it back.
Wow.
What was that?
When it happened, was he like, he didn't seem like he was like,
no, even like, no, nothing, Jake. Nothing.
Russian. They have no expression. They're just like, I lost finger. I have no finger.
I've seen people get mad that like, that there's no ice and water at a restaurant, have a bigger fucking reaction, or like, hey, like, hey, you gave me decaf. Like literally, like there, I've seen people go, this seat doesn't move back on the plane. Like, flip out. The dude's fucking finger was gone. Not even like the whole finger was gone. And
oh yeah, when my grandpa, when we have breakfast, he'll throw a fit if his hash browns aren't done. They're not extra crispy. He'll be like, do those look extra crispy to you? And he'll like, I'm like, now Loogie's coming, so that's cool. But yeah, a finger, like, that's unbelievable.
So it got caught in the fence? Is that how it started?
No, it just, the guy kicked it and it fucking broke. And then they were like fighting, and the other guy was like, I guess maybe he went to grab the guy's hand or something, and the guy fucking removed the other guy's finger. Like, I don't understand how that's, someone said, people were like, does he have lupus? You know, it was like all kinds of. I wanted to make an Angela Magana getting fingered joke somewhere, but I couldn't fucking, I couldn't write it. I could, but I was like, I went to that well.
But everyone like pretty cool with you roasting though. Like they don't take, you know, I'd say most people, right? Most fighters are cool though.
Most people get it. Yeah. The only people that get mad are the ones that get offended on behalf of the other fighter. They fucking, you know, they go, that's fucked up to make fun of a guy with one arm. Meanwhile, the guy with one arm is laughing. It's like, don't make Angela Magana jokes. Magana's like, please stop. Please don't stop making jokes. Don't listen to you. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. So that's, all right. So also more MMA news, and then we'll get into some other stuff. But Leon Edwards is fighting Nate Diaz. Everyone says this fight makes no sense, but we're cool with it. That's pretty much the, I mean, Nate Diaz could fight the cold and everyone would fucking want to watch it. The guy is literally just, it's going to be, has he ever been in a boring fight in his life? You know, he doesn't know how to be boring. At that, that being said, does he beat Leon Edwards? Jake?
Man, I don't know. Well, yeah, Nate's one of those guys too, though. Like, you can put him up with about anybody and he's going to draw. I mean, people want to see him fight. It's an interesting fight. I mean,
Bill?
Oh, is it a headline fight, Adam?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
It's the info is wrong. I'm trying to get my Wi-Fi better. It's fucking it's an interesting fight.
Oh, it's five rounds. Co-main event. Co-main event.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're right though. Nate Diaz looked amazing against Anthony Pettis. I mean, he just beat up Anthony Pettis. And then Pettis has looked good since then. So you can't even say he beat a shot Pettis. And then he went out and got shellacked by Masvidal, who looked horrible against Usman. And Leon Edwards was beating Bilal Muhammad before he rammed his fucking hand into the guy's eye. I don't know why he did that. I mean, it wasn't. Now people are just cheating to cheat. They're like winning and they fucking knee people in the head. It used to be like when you were lose, you would do a fucking illegal move. Yeah. Now people are winning and they're poking people. I just think also that's just 2 years off maybe and fucking, I don't know, brain fart or not used to it or whatever.
By the way, just a little fun fact. Fun fact, that this is how much people love Nate Diaz. It's going to be the first five-round non-title co-main event fight in UFC history.
Wow.
They gave him like a five-round fight just because they fucking love him. There's no reason for the fight. They don't even have the BMF title on the line.
Yeah, and it's what like is non-title Nate, and like what is co-main. Nate rank? And Nate's rank, like, he's got to be up there, right? 7, 8, 9? I mean, what's Nate?
He can't be in the top 10. He can't be in the top 10, can he?
No, I don't think he is. But, dude, Nate Diaz is.
He hasn't fought in like 18 months.
Dude, he's so funny. I told you for the MMA awards, I texted him, like, hey, will you present an award this year? And he goes, fuck yeah, I want to win one too. And he wasn't even nominated. Like, he hadn't even fought. And, like, so then I was like, hey, can we give Nate Diaz an award just for being Nate Diaz? And they didn't bite on it. But, like, just have, like, the Nate Diaz Award to go to Nate Diaz every year. That would be, like, But, yeah, so.
Hey. So. Initially, just to touch, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was saying, like, initially I was kind of leaning towards Leon, but I don't know, man. Diaz is a – plus being a five-round fight, I don't know. I'm not confident in Leon for five rounds. I don't know.
But you're a big better, Jake. Everyone knows you're a big better. They call you Jake the Shark out in Vegas.
Alleged.
So you're allowed to bet. If you're in the UFC, you're allowed to bet on UFC fights. Can you bet on your own fights if you're in the UFC?
You can certainly bet on UFC fights. I your own? I don't know. That's a gray area.
But he would bet on guys certainly. He would train with guys and go, this fucking guy's not going to win. You know, like he would place the bet after practice. Like in the middle of the fucking training session, he would be like, hey, like he would take the guy down and then go, hey, put this, you know, am I right? This didn't happen?
when I get an insight, yeah, I make a little bit of a.
Isn't that called insider trading? Is that illegal?
Insider training.
Great.
I like it.
Sports betting is. I don't know.
All right. So, So John Jones says he's not going to take $8 to $10 million. He says, according to him, he wants $50 million. That's what people are saying. Or he said 8 to 10 is not enough to fight Ngannou. This is tough because the UFC can't lose John Jones. John Jones is the best fighter, arguably of all time, in the UFC right now, especially with Khabib retiring. And if he goes to Bellator or he goes to ONE, they're going to say they have the best fighter in the world. And that's not good for the UFC. At the same time, if they can't give a guy $50 million if they're not going to make it. You know, and then that just all that's going to mean is they're going to pay everyone else less. You know, I don't understand, like, why don't they don't just give them more pay-per-view points? I'm not a business guy, but it would seem like that would be the thing to do. Is okay. I mean, they did the numbers, and he's not one of the, like, I think McGregor, Khabib, Anderson Silva all did better numbers than him as a main event guy. That's what, according to somebody. I'm not sure if these, I didn't, you know, fact check that guy's stats. And John Jones is also a liability. He's also a liability because, you know, they've had to literally move fucking events. That being said, I would like to see him get whatever he wants and be happy because he deserves it. I mean, you don't go 29, whatever the record is, and be the best fighter in the world. You should get paid whatever you want, really. Jake, you're a great fighter. What do you think?
It is a tough one. I mean, even just to add, like, the pay-per-view points, I mean, it makes sense, but, like, you got to understand, like, it's coming from – the UFC is like, it's still coming out of their revenue. It's like, you know, what are we going to pay him? It's hard because he also hasn't fought a heavyweight yet. He hasn't fought a heavyweight. You know, obviously I have no objection for him fighting for the title at heavyweight. He's the greatest of all time, you know, as a light heavyweight. So there's an argument there, but yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. You want 8 to 10 up front to fight 12 to, you know, whatever it is, but I don't know. I've heard kind of, he's been tough to deal with from the inside, but again, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see him, you know, to be some sort of, you know, you got to give and take a little bit. I know they won't let him go. I do know that, but
yeah.
Well, hopefully they can find a happy medium, you know.
Bill, thoughts?
Well, I mean, if you were afraid to get your ass kicked by Ngannou, you would ask for $50 million. I'm just saying. It's the move of someone. I mean, like, what? He's not going to find where I live. But it is the move of someone who's like, you're like, fuck, I don't want to fight this guy. At this point, he looks almost invincible, Ngannou, right?
Yeah.
And I think that he's like, well, what do? You make a financial statement that if you lose, at least you got $50 million. I don't know. I think it's kind of like, I think it's fear-based. That's my feeling.
Is $10 million not enough? $10 million, I know $50 million is a lot more than $10 million. It's five times more. But $10 million is a lot of fucking money. I mean.
Yeah, you buy so much Coke with that.
He's been getting paid, I don't know what exactly, but a lot of money to fight, to recycle, you know, at like 205, to recycle. It's just like he's getting paid a lot of money. Yeah. And Bill, he has a point. I mean, Chael did a piece on it yesterday too, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, if that's a fight, like, do you really want the fight? If that's something that fight, you're gonna ask for something ridiculous, because you know the UFC is gonna be like, no chance. But yeah, if we're gonna, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, does he want it? Yeah. Does he want to play the game? It looks like it. You know what I mean? We'll see.
So, what do you think happens? Jake and Bill, I'm actually curious. Who do you think wins that fight?
Did you impact that before?
What was that, Bill?
I was just saying, has Dana White ever been bullied into a number like that before by a fighter?
No. Yeah. But what do you think happens in that fight, Jake?
Oh, man. it's honestly, it's and I know Francis' last fight, but I was like, you have to fight him the perfect fight and be mistake-free for 25 minutes. So I think John can certainly win that fight. Obviously, he's exceptional wrestling and on the ground. Things where he can take Stipe out of his comfort zone, but Francis is one of those guys, if he touches you, you're going to sleep. Like, he's just got that incredible power, that incredible gift of power, but I don't know. Again, I would like to lean towards Jones, but man, we haven't seen him at heavyweight either. I don't know. He could get melted in. I mean, he's slower. You know what I mean? He's not as good a shape. I don't know. Maybe he's not as agile, but maybe he's fast. I don't know.
Now you train with Ngannou, right?
Well, in the same room. I wouldn't see it, not with him. Yeah, that's.
You guys didn't. You told me you actually spar with him.
Me? No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. No. I was, Oh, all right. Okay. I got it. I got it. We have Elvin Leon Brito is with us. Elvin Leon Brito is ranked second in bare knuckle boxing. He was 8-8 in MMA, but he looked like
9-8.
9-8. Sorry, my bad. But he didn't seem like he wanted to be there. He was like, you know what? I just want to beat people up without gloves. And it seems like you found yourself. You found your calling, man.
Yeah.
You're fucking killing it.
I love MMA, you know. Yeah, I never felt like I didn't want to be in MMA. It was just it was an opportunity I got presented at the right time. And I was like, hey, I'll try it out. And I fell in love with it, you know.
You said guys with gloves. Because you said guys with gloves are big pussies. I'm kidding.
It ain't bare knuckle. A lot of glove fighters have the misunderstanding. They think they're gonna just take the glove.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was him. Great. That was awesome. Well, that was a great interview as well. This fucking Wi-Fi is brutal. It's brutal. I hate it.
Well, I think was he like ziplining in Costa Rica?
He was in Puerto Rico. Oh, fuck. Everybody's leaving. This is the best podcast. I'm sorry, guys. I tried. I tried to do
it. You and my cat.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to talk to Bill's cat. Hopefully Elvin comes back. I don't know what happened there. Here he is. So now, did you know that the fight, watching Ngannou train, did you think that was going to happen with Stipe?
I did, yeah. I mean, especially a rematch. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be mistake-free against a guy that like Ngannou. But and I just, you know, in 25 minutes, you know, you got to fight a perfect fight and be mistake-free. So and being a rematch, I was like, you know, Ngannou, he's made some adjustments, and I was definitely liking the odds in that fight. But Stipe is undoubtedly the greatest heavyweight. No, there's no question.
Yeah, no.
Is there going to be a rubber match? Is there going to be number three?
No, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I would certainly tune in, but yeah, I would like to see Ngannou versus man, what's his name from Houston?
Oh,
Derek Lewis.
Derek Lewis. Yeah.
Who wouldn't like to watch that fight?
Who watched the first one. Everybody who watched the first time they fought. It was probably the worst fight of all time. That's the only thing about that fight, though. It was so bad.
Was it really?
Dude, they didn't throw a punch. It was a staring contest. Like, it was right after Ngannou lost. I think Elvin Brito came on and then lost. Oh, man, I got to apologize to this guy. Now he probably thinks that I really think that that he thinks that bare knuckle people that wear gloves are pussies. I was kidding. He's calling in from Puerto Rico. Yeah, the first fight was terrible, Bill. It was arguably the worst heavyweight fight of all time. They were both scared of each other's power. So there was like no fight. There was like no punches thrown. Yeah, it was Brad. Yeah.
Dang.
All right, man, this fucking Wi-Fi sucks. Man, this Wi-Fi sucks. So, Jake, how's engaged life?
Everything's good. I was going to ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
What do you – I hear
– Here we go.
I want to hear
– are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
No,
we're
I know.
Are we live?
We are live.
We're live.
Okay. Right, Elvin, one sec. Jake, what was your question?
No,
this Wi-Fi.
That's Paul.
On who, Jake? Askren,
Paul? Paul?
Oh,
yeah, Askren and Paul.
Askren and Paul.
Well, from what I know, you know, like, Askren's he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a world-class athlete. He's not that great of a boxer. Jake Paul, he's had the luxury that he's so rich that he could just dedicate himself to just training. And it looks like he's been training a lot of boxing. It really looks like he's been training with some really good guys. He moves good. He looks better than fucking Ben hitting the bag. I'll tell you that shit. And hitting the pads, and he moves better. And he looked better fighting when you know what I'm saying than Ben did with his hands. So it's like I think Jake is going to surprise a lot of people in this fight, unless. You know, the fight gets ugly because, you know, like I said, Ben Askren is also a world-class athlete, so I wouldn't be surprised if he
Now, Elvin, are you in a rooster farm or something?
There's a certain part. Oh, yeah, this is my backyard. I'm poolside.
Wow. That is the coolest thing ever. So you're in Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That,
yeah, that's all my roosters and stuff.
That's beautiful, man. You're living a life, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm living the good life.
Elvin, I know you're I have a question. The John Donaher Death Squad team down there, Gordon Ryan and all those guys who
trained. Oh, there's some new jiu-jitsu guys, right?
Yeah.
I heard of those guys in San Juan. No, I've never been up there. I got to go visit them one day. I heard they're really good, you know, so I got to go visit them. I mean, I've been doing MMA for a long time. I got a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, and I got a brown belt in judo, so I've been in the game for a while. And I love wrestling and stuff. I used to hate wrestling when I first started because I was a boxer, but I had to force myself to do it, and, you know, I ended up really liking it, you know. But this bare knuckle stuff is nice. It's more my stuff. It's always fit me. I've always been a kind of punching. Like I said, there's something about boxing. It's like they were saying about Ben and Jake. There's something about stand-up, especially bare knuckle, where the athleticism isn't front burner in the first couple rounds. It's in the back burner. It's not till, you know, that athletic. Because it doesn't matter how much you push a guy, he's punching you in the face. The guy keeps punching you in the face. You're just pushing for him to knock your ass out, you know? Because unless he gets tired real fast, but if the guy's a good fighter, he's not, you know what I'm saying? I'm strong and I'm athletic, but I'm not like a super athletic dude, doing backflips and shit like that and strong and squatting 300 and some pounds, but I could fight, you know? And athleticism doesn't cut it for striking sports, where in grappling and MMA, you're able to use that. You know, that's in the front burner. You're able to use it. So it'll be interesting to see that fight.
Now, Elvin, it seems like a lot of boxers come.
No, but that's what I love about bare knuckle.
It seems like a lot of boxers come into bare knuckle and they don't realize it's a whole different art form. Like Paulie Malignaggi.
Oh, yeah. It's a wake-up call. I love the wake-up call. You know, like I've been BKFC since BKFC 3. And man, I go to almost all the shows too. And I love the wake-up call. You know, a lot of veterans come in. They're like, oh, this is. I'm going to be, they always come in talking, I'm going to be the best in here, you know, and then they don't answer the 10 count because it's just so raw. It's so painful. It's so real. It's so different. And your hands hurt and this is not like, if you're a big dumb galoo, like it's not the greatest place to be at because it can only go so far like that. You have to be a smart, you have to be a warrior gladiator to be able to really go far in this game.
But even like,
can I ask you a question, Elvin?
Hold on one second, Bill, even like Paige VanZant. Who's like, she came in.
Yeah, she's more athletic. She's more athletic than Britton. She comes from a better team. She's a better. I mean, she's more athletic. She's stronger. She's faster. Just because of a better team, but that doesn't matter because there's a fight. The front burner in bare knuckle is fighting prowess. It's how your fight game is and how fast you're able to get it going. You know how fast you're able to. Get it going. If you can't get your game going, you're done. Bare knuckle is high stakes. Any punch, it's over. You know, you get hit a nerve, get hit in the wrong spot. You know, you get in the back, you get put on stilts.
Yep.
Anything goes south real bad. Or you could be winning, which I've seen a lot. The girl fight, Knuckle Mania fight of the night, was a perfect example where the girl was actually just, she was on her way to put the other girl away, but then her hands got tired. And then the fight got ugly. And when the fights get ugly, man, it's painful. You want to see an ugly fight? Caleb and Caleb Harris versus Jim Allard, that was painful. I was there. I fought that day, too. I fought Palomino. But Jim was hitting him, you know. And then the hand fatigue starts to set in third, fourth round. And, man, that fight got grueling, you know. And I'm sure – and a lot of people don't understand that, unlike MMA or bare knuckle, like, there's a rawness to the sport, and it's just striking. And, like, your athleticism, like, it's not going to escape you. From, like, there's no way – you're not going to be able to use a takedown. You're not going to be able to hold. You're not going to be able to be strong. Like, being stronger than the other guy helps if you can hit him. You know, almost everybody that I fight is stronger than me. And, you know, everybody's like, how hard did they hit? I'm like, I don't know. They would never really be able to get a good punch on me. You know? I wouldn't be able to tell you if they hit hard or not. You know, I hit them pretty damn hard. But it's a different sport. It's just 10 minutes. It's lightning fast. I would say it's, like, boxing on steroids or like high stakes poker, like, you know, it's just super, super high stakes. And a lot of the boxers, they come in, they think in the, because when you box, I know because I come from the boxing background, you come in and you work your game because it's a long game. You know what I'm saying? You come in and you work your game, you feel your guy out, you know, you took, and that, you know, by the time you do that, the fight's over in Bernal, you know? Like, it's over. You know, 10 minutes, boom. So, you don't have time to feel the other guy out. As soon as that first bell rings, you got to go. You got to get to work. I'm not saying go out there and make a mess, but, like, you don't have time to feel the other guy out. You have time to either be better than the other guy or not. You know, you're either better than the other guy or your timing's better. You might have a round or two. It always takes me about a round or two to get my opponent's timing down. But once I got your timing down, you know, it's never lay back. It's always turn it up, and then the fight ends. You know, before you know it, the fight's over. Now, a lot of guys that I fight, they leave frustrated. It's over.
Yeah, Bill, what were you saying?
You know, I've never really seen a lot of bare knuckle fights. I have a couple questions. One is, like, obviously you can't do elbows at all, right?
No.
Is it just designs for everyone to be a headhunter, or can you get that, like, liver shot that, like,
knocks body shots are out? Vicious. That's right. I mean, if you should check out bare knuckle. Bare knuckle is, like I said, I love MMA. I love the quest. I love doing all the different martial arts and everything. But this is so different, so raw. You know, and it's. What was the question again? Sorry.
Well, like, you know how, like, Boz Rutten used to do that, like, oh, yeah,
the body shots, like, are, you'd be surprised without a glove, with bone on bone, how easy it is for a professional fighter who's stronger than a regular person with his, just break your bones. You know, if you get hit on a clavicle, you can just break your clavicle. Just break your rib, one hit. It only takes one hit to break your rib. Boom, it hits you right, boom, rib's gone, you know? When I fought Palomino, you know, I wasn't even hurt from the fight. I mean, one time right on the tip of the rib, still bothers me. You know, it's just, it's how it is. You know, my opponent, his ribs bothered him from the last fight. It's like, I got punched in the clavicle. See, that's why I like my first fight. We fought a 5 rounds. I got punched in the clavicle by Harris Stevenson, and Harris Stevenson is a huge 165er. He's probably close to 180. He punched me right in the clavicle. That hurt for like 2 months. You know, just from getting, it was just, and I literally, when I got out, I told my coach, I'm like, dude, real. And you watch a lot of veterans come in, they get punched in the eye, and they're like, oh, you know, and they're expecting the ref to do something. And the ref's like, what happened? I got punched in the eye. Like, one, two, it's like, dude, it's fair enough, dude. It's like, oh, I hurt my hand. Like, oh, your hand hurts? One, two, it's like,
fuck. So who do you want to fight next?
I said, like, I'll fight anybody.
So, Elvin, who do you want to fight next?
I'll fight anybody. As long as they put that belt in front of me. Especially if they put the belt in front of me.
Got it.
They want to fight me now. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to go. You know, like, I'm ready to go.
Well, thank you.
I've been ready. I've been training with my coach. Yep. So, I've been ready to just – I've been just staying – I'm not going full, like, a training camp, but I'm still training with my coach, trying to stay strong, and I'm not going to let myself – fall out of line, because I'm going to come right back at it, you know, trying to be champions.
Well, it was an honor to have you on the podcast, Elvin. Thank you so much, and take care. Keep it up, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Check out BKFC when you get a chance, man. The realest sport, fastest growing for a reason.
For sure, yeah. Man.
We will. So
you guys have a good day.
You too. We got Tay Edwards here. T. Edwards, who I met last week in Arizona. I did a show. He came with his beautiful, I think, ex-wife, but now wife again.
Just dating again.
Oh, there's just dating again. So he got and this girl smoking hot, and then she's a nice woman. She like rescues dogs, and then he married her, and then they got divorced. And he's like, you know what? Bring her back. And now they're back together. I'm not sure exactly if that's how it went, but I think it was a good move. T. Edwards, who. I was looking at some of your stuff, man. You were a Virginia State champion, right? Wrestling?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
where in Virginia? Where in Virginia? Or college? High school?
I was in high school in Virginia. And
where?
Then I went to Cox, Virginia Beach.
Okay, I was at T.C. Williams, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of the guys out there. But then I came back my senior year, wrestled ODU with Steve. my senior year after I went to ASU. So wrestled Virginia there as well.
Yeah, and then you went to, and then in college you were ranked 9th in the country at one point. You went to junior. Where did you go? Did you go to ASU first or ASU second?
I went to ASU first. I did 3 years at ASU, and then my senior year I came back to ODU.
How come you left ASU to go to ODU?
Too much partying, right? I've heard about ASU.
That played a big factor. Lots of partying, very distracted. Long story short, there's a thing called the Undie Run at ASU. They used to have it. It was like the Naked Mile from like the Greek movies, essentially. Yeah. So there's that. And there's like a big like dance rave before the Undie Run at the rec center. So everybody comes. They come drunk and they run dances. And there's a big mosh pit that always kind of breaks out. Long story short, me and some teammates got into a fight with some people and it got recorded and viral, and I got kindly asked to leave the university because we got in a fair amount of trouble from the local news channels, and it got put on like Tosh.0 and like some of those like
nice.
Those you got to fight in your, like, internet. You got to fight in your underwear.
Yeah. Yes, if you put it that way.
And then you fought other guys and in their underwear too.
I mean, when you think about it, it's in my wheelhouse. Like coming from wrestling, it's not really that strange, you know. Especially going into fighting now, where I'm essentially in my underwear. It was actually foretelling of my future. So
yeah,
was it like a race
train and be a UFC fighter?
Now, was it guys like saw that you were like packing because you're black, and they were like, "Whoa!" And then they were like, they got mad at you, so then they jumped you, and then you had to defend yourself?
No, it's funny. The headline that I got put out there was ASU wrestlers assault like gay guy. They thought the guy was gay. They thought we was like a hate crime, which was not the case.
You guys were all gay.
I don't know the full story.
Was it like all of you guys were gay? So it's not really a hate crime if it's gay.
Yeah, I don't know what. No. So it's not. I think it's still a hate crime if you. I don't know.
So it's a guy who had really sexy underwear, and they're like, "Look at that underwear. He's got to be gay."
Well, no, he was. So one, I had on Batman underoos. The guy was like, he was like 6'5". He was like this huge, like 300-pound dude, and he had his shirt on. Like he didn't take all of his clothes off. So the narrative was that we were fighting this guy because he wouldn't take his shirt off, and we were like, that's gay. So we fought him, which is not. I don't know how they came up. I don't know how they came up with that. But what I understand is I got there. My teammate was getting into a fight with this guy. My teammate, he was like a 49-pounder. He's getting into this fight with this massive guy. And I was like, what the fuck's happening? They're like, oh, Carlson's getting in a fight. And I was like, fuck that shit. Like, I'm not about to square up with this fucking behemoth of a man. So I circled around, found a good angle, and I sucker punched the shit out of him, which, you know, I'm sorry. It's not a fucking, you know, we're not getting paid. So it's a street right. fight. So I fucking hit him. And then everybody was like, oh, shit, because, you know, he dropped and whatever. And then, like, the crowd ran in, and they continued the dance party, and it was over. And, like, that's all I knew about it for, like, a week. Like, we went about our day.
The guy was laying down there.
Never heard about it.
Were you guys dancing over him? Was he laying down there, and you guys danced over
him?
Well, if
you see the video, like, you can't really tell. Like, the guy gets hit, he falls, the crowd, like, runs in, everyone starts, like, chanting and doing ASU shit, and then like the video cuts off, and then we all went about the rest of our day. Like there was like 6 fights that like it wasn't like an uncommon thing. It was a mosh pit. Like people were fighting constantly. So like we continued about our day, and then a week later they were like, bro, did you see that that video they got?
Yeah,
and I was like, what video? And they were like, this might they put you on like a bunch of websites, and then that spiraled from there. So it was bullshit.
Now your coach, Zeke Jones, who's like a 3-time national champion, the guy's like, you know, a really serious guy. When he brings you in and you tell him that you got into a fight in your underwear during the Undie Run, and now you're not going to be the 8th ranked guy in the country, what was that conversation like?
So Zeke wasn't there when I was at ASU. Sean Charles was the head coach. So Zeke got there like a couple years after that. Charles was the head coach at the time. I wasn't ranked 8th until I got to ODU. I think I was like maybe top 20 at ASU. But pretty much they were like, hey, our hands are tied. The video thing got, like, people were, they thought it was a hate crime. They thought, like, they really thought we got in a fight because the guy was gay and we were, like, just beating up people for no reason. So they were, like, sending messages to, like, the dean and stuff saying, like, this is unacceptable. Like, you gotta kick these guys out. Like, they're, you know, gender bias or whatever the fuck. Like, they made it into this big ordeal and, like, the news ran with it. And they pitched it as, like, we jumped some guy. Because, and I was like, no, bro. Like, I showed up. There's a big guy fighting my teammate. That's not how I roll. And I was like, fuck him. And then I went about my day. Like, it wasn't.
Why would you beat up a gay guy for not taking off his shirt? Like, wouldn't that be the opposite?
I don't know. People are stupid, Adam. I don't know why they thought this was the case, but the news thought it would sell more, I guess, if that was the story. So that's what they ran with.
Okay. So then you go to ODU. You did very good in wrestling. You made the national tournament. Now you're fighting. You make it also on Dana White's Contender. That's when I first came, and you knocked the guy out quickly. It was one punch. He was out, and then you're in the octagon, and you signed the contract for Dana. Like, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, you knocked him out, and then you put your hand out and signed it yourself. Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah,
that was pretty badass, T.
Oh. I missed the last 10 seconds.
I said it was pretty badass when you signed the contract yourself after knocking that guy out.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. I don't think that could have went any better. We had watched some film on the guy. I kind of knew what his strengths were and kind of, I think, what he was going to anticipate from me. So we kind of just baited him into, like, a few level changes, made him think we were going to try to wrestle with him. And, for a second, and we came up top and just landed a clean overhand. And it, you know, I don't like to try to talk too highly of myself, but, like, if I catch somebody clean with the right hand, like, very few people are still standing after. So we caught him on the button, and I was like, yeah, he's not getting up after this. And
yeah, no,
I was like, oh, we gotta.
It was a walk off. It was fucking.
Yeah.
It was badass. Then your first two fights didn't go that great in the UFC. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. The first fight went. The second fight against Dennis Bermudez, you were winning that fight in the first round. You just gassed.
So there's a. There's a reason for that. I have a medical condition that we don't talk about a whole lot, just so people don't know about it and, like, exploit it. So, but long story short, that came into play during the fight, and there's really not much I can do about it during that time. Like, people will see the fight, or they'll see me compete, and they go, oh, like, you know, he gasses, or oh, like, you know, he whatever, and it's. That's not the case. Like, I'm in very good shape. If you ever come to the lab, like, I'll do 10, 12, 5 minute rounds with, you know, all the killers that are at the lab. Like, it's not that I have a cardio problem. I have a degree and several certifications in strength and conditioning. Like, I know how to train appropriately. There's just other factors at play that I just don't have control over. So if things kind of go down that path, it's just, I'm just in a bad spot, and I either have to try to pull something out of my ass and, you know, get the fight to be over with, or, you know, it's just going to be like, if you watch the Bermudez fight, you kind of see at some point, like, oh, he just kind of stopped doing a whole lot. And then like, it's not that I was like, I mean, he was winning and dominating, obviously, but, like, if you see it, like, I'm still protecting myself. I'm still being, like, intelligent. I just can't do a whole lot for those reasons. So,
Can I ask you a question to you about
All right, so Bill, what was your question?
I was just asking, like, what his next fight looked like.
No. It was right after he talked about the gassing out. He says he has a medical condition.
Yeah.
That's what I dropped out. Sorry, T. Can you repeat that?
Quick recap. So long story short, I don't care what casual fans thought, like, about my lifestyle, my laziness. The people close to me kind of know what my situation is. I don't make it well known because it is a weak spot that could be exposed. So we just train around it and don't really bring it up. Like, maybe after I'm all said and done, I'll let people know retrospectively, this is what I was working through. But if I bring it up, we've got a similar situation in college where people kind of found out what was happening. And then their approach to fighting me became a little bit different. And it makes like my day harder. It makes my career harder. So I'm less concerned about what people think about my training and preparation, and more concerned about, you know, winning fights and making sure I can, you know, capitalize on this sport to the best of my abilities.
Now you made it to the top. You made it to the UFC, which was like, you're like in the 1.1% of the 1%. I take it you got cut from the UFC. Are you going to try to come back to Bellator LFA one to get back to the UFC? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, so they're all on the table, honestly. And I don't see myself doing like the regional circuit, like LFA. I think they're a great opportunity. I think I know my capabilities, what I'm worth, quote unquote, and like where I stand. I think that the things that happen in the UFC, there are reasons and explanations. I think those fights go a lot differently, with a couple tweaks. Like, not to make excuses, both those fights I had like less than 3 weeks, 4 weeks of camp. I was on military orders before the first fight, and I was out in Virginia for like six, seven weeks, like not at a gym, you know, doing military shit. And then we got back and we had like 4 weeks to kind of get back in shape and have camp. And then we fought, got knocked out, was on concussion protocol for another 2 months, didn't train at all. And then on Christmas, they asked us to fight, you know, Dennis in 19 days. And I was like, man, fuck it. So I got like a 3 week camp in after being on concussion protocol and not training. So like, it was just, there were bad decisions on my part to how to manage my career. So I think with a full camp and, you know, medical condition aside, like that Bermudez fight continues to go how it was going in the first round, and the first fight, you may go a little bit differently depending on.
I didn't even know you were in the military.
Yeah. Well, I just got out in September, but I was prior Army and prior Air Force.
You were in the Air Force and the Army?
Yeah, the Army first and then Air Force.
Wow. Where were you based out of?
So Luke Air Force Base here in Arizona.
That was for the Army?
Yeah.
That's the Air
Force. Oh, no.
Army.
Air Force, yeah. Army is down in Florence. It's a small city here in Arizona, too. So I was in Florence and then over here at Luke. So
Thank you for your service, man. That's awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So a lot of things to juggle.
I love how you never bring up the fact that women are a part of it. You never have to bring up the fact that you got a woman that you divorced, you're getting back. I mean, come on, that's gotta be a distraction too, right? A little bit.
So prior to getting to the UFC, you know, I have like my son and I was married at the time. There was a lot of things to juggle, you know, and the military. I've always been someone that needs a lot of stimulus, like in a lot of different varieties. So I've tried to do a lot, which obviously takes focus away from like just fighting. So it's a lot to juggle with, you know, family life in the beginning. When we divorced, actually, is when my time kind of freed up. And that's when, you know, we fought for Contender and UFC. And I was actually dating somebody else at the time. She was awesome. She was very supportive and helped out a lot. So, no, I've never been the type to allow those type of distractions to hinder me from whatever I'm pursuing.
Well, I was distracted because your girl's a smoke show, and then so I was very distracted by her. And you guys have a kid together, right?
Yeah, we have our son.
Yes, so you guys have a son. Now, did you have a big? I was wondering that. Now, did you have a big wedding?
No. So funny story. So we were engaged when I joined the military, and they were pretty much like, "Hey, she can't get any of your benefits and anything if you guys aren't married, technically, like engagement doesn't count." So we had to go down to the courthouse to get married like the day before, like the week before I went off to boot camp. So she could get benefits and we got like extra stipends for like housing and everything. So we got married just at the courthouse. And then the next year we were going to go get, have the ceremony. And then she got pregnant the next year and she was pregnant. She can't, you know, fit in her dress and have a wedding. So then it got pushed out like another year. We didn't have like an actual ceremony until like 2 or 3 years later. And at that point we were just like, fuck it, like we're gonna go to Vegas and invite like a couple of our friends and just like get lit and call it a day, like, you know.
Yeah. So Bill, so I meet T and his girl at my show, And then I go on their Instagram, and the girl's like, "Hey, I'm having dog adoptions tomorrow, right?" I'm like, "Oh, I want a dog. This is great, you know." But I don't want to go through a whole like. So I call T. I'm like, "Listen, these dogs are really cute, but is this the kind of rescue where they're gonna ask me 100 questions, come to my house, you know, start interviewing my exes and the first girl that gave me a hand job in fourth grade, like the whole thing? I don't want to. He's like, "No, it's easy. Just gotta make sure they have the dog. Just go there and get a dog. It'll be no problem." Like, okay, cool. So I drive there. It's like a half hour. I get lost. I show up. They're like, "We don't have any dogs." I go, "What do you mean no dog?" They're like, "They all went home." I go, "I know T."
They got rescued.
I go, "I know T. Edwards." She goes, "Who?" And then I go, I know his wife. You know, they got divorced. Now they're back together. Oh, I think she does our social media. I go,
"Why did you think I had any pool at the rescue?"
I don't know.
I don't work there.
You were the big fighting guy that everyone knew that was like they would root for your fights or something.
I have nothing to do with that. I just know it because she does it.
Dude, I'm like, "I want to see one dog." They're like, "No." I'm like, "Fucking bark like a dog." They almost called the security to get me out of there. It was like.
they called her after. So she was gone when you called. So when you called me, I was like, "Yeah, I think you just go down there and like ask me some dogs. Like, I don't think they screen people, just like adopt one, whatever." So she gets back and then she's like, "No, it's by appointment. Only he has to make an appointment." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't tell him that." And then like the people from at the rescue call her and they were like, "Hey, some guy just came down here and like he was demanding to see these dogs." I tried to tell him that like we had to buy appointment only. And he was like, "I know T. Edwards." And she was like, "I don't know who that is." Like, I was like, "Why would he name drop me? Like, I don't have any kind of pull there. Like, I don't work there. They don't know who I am." Like, just like, yeah, he was like really mean about it. And then he just left. And I was like, "Oh."
Dude, I was pissed. I was like, "All right, I had a 6-hour drive back. I had a show. I was going to work out. I'm like, no, I'll just go get dogs instead." So then it was like a whole thing. But anyway, we ended up getting a dog the next day. But yeah, it was like, what a disaster that went. Holy shit, that was bad. Dude, the lady was like, "We have no dogs. They all went home. They don't want to see you." I was like,
got rescued. She said like they had a bunch of appointments that morning, and like all the pups from that litter got rescued. So there were just no dogs.
He told me they had. He goes, "They have 3 litters." I'm like, "Fuck, what?" So now I'm thinking like 20 dogs. Like everyone just came and took the dog. Yeah, it was the whole thing, dude. So here you are now. How much are you training? Are you, every day you training or what?
No, I, honest to God, I've never trained every day, which is just a part of who I am. I'm a very efficient. I'm ambitiously efficient with my training. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that's gonna come in and just like run himself into the ground, going through the motions. Like, if I come in, like I have a purpose for today's training, and I'm gonna go like balls to the wall on that purpose, and then I'm gonna take time to recover in between. Like, so I don't think I've ever in my life trained for fighting more than 3 days a week. Like at best, probably 3 days a week. But I stay in really good shape. I go to sparring. I do rounds. I work on my jits. I work on my striking. I work with, you know, individuals to hone in certain skills. So I feel good. I feel honestly probably twice or 3 times as better as I was when I was fighting for the UFC. Just, you know, really dialing in different gaps that I needed to address and work on and putting on size to try to go up to 170. So yeah, I mean, as soon as COVID clears up, honestly, because I'm like I was telling him before you got back on, like, so I work full time. I have like a great job in software. Like I don't I fight because it's fun. I fight because I like to fight and because I'm athletic and it's my background. I'm not doing an 8-week camp busting my ass and coming to a fight and having them say, "Oh, somebody has COVID. You're not getting paid." Like, the fuck? Like, I was here to be under the lights and have fun and get paid. Like, I'm not here for shits and giggles. Like, so with like half these fights falling through and like whatever else, like no crowd, like I don't want to come to a sparring day. Like, there's no crowd. Like, this is half the reason I do this shit. So
yeah.
As soon as they clear this up, like this is nice downtime for me because I get to like train and, you know, catch up. As soon as they get things back open, you know, if UFC, I know it's a very steep competition to get signed and get back in. So, you know, Bellator's cool. Bellator's paying well. PFL's doing some cool shit. You know, one is doing some real cool things, and they're overseas to travel. I don't think I'll ever do a regional circuit like LFA. Like LFA is great. I think they're good for guys that are working their way up. I think I've kind of proven that I'm at the UFC level. I train with guys at the UFC level. I don't need to come in and fight for, you know, $1,000 to prove I can, you know, make it back in. Like, I just won't fight if that's the case. Like, I'll take my chances elsewhere. So, yeah, I'll hang out. I'll stay in shape. I'll train. I'll kind of see what's open in terms of like the, you know, the big four for those leagues. And then as soon as everything clears back up and back to normal, like I'm ready to rock whenever.
Now, were you at ASU when Ben Askren was coaching?
Yeah. Askren whooped my ass a hot many times. He's a very deceivingly strong, gifted wrestler. Like, I know he was the original kind of like scramble funk guy before people got like weird and, you know, scrambly. He is weirdly strong. Like, I've never wrestled someone as strong as him. It's like you've seen Ben. Like, Ben, he looks kind of like a frisbee nerd, whatever.
Yeah.
This man, I tell this story every time someone asks me about Ben. It was like his first week he came into practice. I was a 65 pounder, like good size. He came in and we were wrestling. And I was like, this dude is flat footed, like slow. He looks awkward. And I hit him with like this mean high crotch, like just real deep, boom. No, he hit a crotch on me. Like, he shot a high crotch on me. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, I hit the corner, go to sprawl, and he reaches up with one hand. He has one hand on the high crotch, reaches up with one hand and like slowly pulls my head down into a cradle, like against all of my will. I am like, no fucking what? And he just pulled, and I was like, I will not. This will, and pulled me into a cradle and just gently put me to my back. And I was like, this is some bullshit. And that was every time I went with him. Like, every time you shot, every time you did anything, he was so oddly scary strong, like very slow twitch, like slow, like you can get to his legs, you can sprawl, but if he got like his hands locked or got his hands on, like, it was unreal. Like, I don't know how he has that kind of weird strength, but yeah, it was, he's good. I'll
so put how do you way. Think he'll do against Jake Paul in boxing?
I don't, people ask me that. I don't fucking know. Honestly, like I said, Ben is a phenomenal grappler. Once he gets his hands on you, he is God slow twitch, like slow twitch, no head movement. Like, he moves very slow. So I think, I don't know how good this Jake Paul kid is. Like, I've seen the kid hit bag and mitts and shit, but honestly, like, he looks like a guy off the street that did like rec classes. Like he knows how to box. Like, he does the classes. He can do his 1-2. He can move his head. Has he ever been in a real fight? Like, not sparring, like a real actual people trying to hurt you fight who also know how to fight? I don't think so. So I think, like, if shit gets tough, he's never been in deep water with another fucking ninja. So I think he'll fold if Ben can keep it that long. Like, Ben doesn't move his head. He, like, your chin and your neck and those nerve endings only work, like, you can't willpower your way out of not getting knocked unconscious. So,
so you were on the team were you on the team when Bubba Jenkins won the NCAAs?
Yeah, I told you this. Bubba's my teammate from middle school. We've known each other since I was 10.
Wow.
So we went to middle school, high school, and then he went to Penn State for college. I went to ASU, and he came to ASU, and then he cornered me for my first Bellator fight and for a contender. So
when he pinned Dave Taylor, you were on the bench?
That was awesome. I was at home. I wasn't at NCAAs that year. But yep. Yeah, that was one of the probably one of his most favorite moments of his life, because that whole story and narrative, the build up, like the odds of them making it to the finals together and then to end it that way is like, I don't think you could write like a better story of any of 30 for 30 on that whole shit with him and Kale and Penn State and coming back and fucking his season. It was kind of wonky that year. He put it together at the end of the year and then made it through some fucking tough guys in the tournament to have David at the finals at Penn State and then hit him with a fucking suicide cradle to finish it. Like, that's on par with Caldwell and that fucking headlock that he hit Metcalf with. Like, just, you don't see people get hit with that at a high level at the national tournament. So
yeah, so Bill, if you don't know the story, so Bubba got kicked off the team at Penn State and then went up against a guy that replaced him and pinned him. Who
the all-star, like the golden child of golden children.
Who,
like,
but that guy now, Taylor, is like the number one wrestler in like the world, basically, in his weight class.
Yeah. And Penn State is a much more like storied wrestling program than ASU, I'm assuming.
at the time.
Yeah, at the time, like, well, they're still like number one, but like they, like Penn State is like the Patriots dynasty, and he, like, the kid was like the new Tom Brady. Like, he was, he ended up being a 3-time national champ. Like, his only loss, I think, was, no, he lost to Dake. He lost to he won a lot. He won a lot, and he wasn't supposed to lose. He was destroying everyone all year, and then Bubba makes it to the finals, who's his former teammate and like his former mentor before we got the team. NCAA's is at Penn State, like in their home arena. All the crowd is for Penn State. Bubba's the former athlete who got kicked off, like the rebel or whatever. Taylor's the golden child, and Bubba hits him with like a move you only hit on Scrubs, like on JV. Hits him with a fucking suicide cradle, pins him, gets up, throws his bands and like machine guns, like his fucking ankle bands, and starts doing all this cool fucking celebration shit. It was like unreal. Like, it was. Yeah.
You got to write that script, Adam. There's your Hollywood script, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I was like, make a 30 for, like, that's a Remember the Titans movie.
And then another guy on their team had, like, one leg. This guy, Robles. Anthony Robles, he won the national championships with one leg. People were mad, though, because if he had two legs, he'd be like, because he could bench, like, 500 pounds.
He was the size of like a 65 pounder wrestling at 125. So like if he would grab these kids, that's what they were. He would grab these kids and like they would not go anywhere. Like they'd be moving and like, and he would like get on top. He would get on top and just like tech people, like just tilt, and they could, like, they never got their wrist back. And
they
tried
to get him banned. Like the guy's got one fucking leg. What are you gonna? They're like he has their advantage. I'm like, he has one leg. How is but the funny part was watching kids try to hit switches on him, because they would go for a switch and then there'd be no
leg. Realize it's...
They'd be no, like, oh shit, there's no leg there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was that was there was a guy one time in MMA who had no arms and no legs. They did a documentary on him and he had like a fight.
What was it? Kyle Maynard.
And
arms and no legs in MMA?
He's paraplegic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they couldn't find anybody to fight.
He had like one fight, I think.
Yeah, because if you lose to a guy with no arms, no legs, it's like, yeah, I lost. But like, no one wanted to fight him. But they changed the rules where like you couldn't kick him. Like,
you couldn't jump over. I had a teammate in high school that wrestled Kyle Maynard, and he jumped over him like the whole he would like just run away and then jump over him. People were like booing him, but he won. So like, he's like, I fucking lose. Like, he was like real strong, because he's like, again, he's like Anthony, where he doesn't have any limbs, so his weight, he has less body weight, but his joints are strong. He has like a nub, but he's like strong as fuck. Like, from, so if he got you with his nub, he was strong.
Yeah. So he was like, does he have like little hands like in his, coming out of his shoulder type of thing? Is it like,
no, he just had like a delt, and that was it. Like just nub and like hip nubs. But like if he could like lock them together, and it was, he beat some good people. he was like a state qualifier, or like he placed at states or somewhere.
Yeah, when I was in high school, they had a thing where you could wrestle like blind kids, you know? But
you
had the advantage because you had to touch them at all times. So you couldn't like sneak behind them and like tackle them.
That's kind of a bullshit rule, I think. Honestly, I think we can't change the rules for you because you're blind.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other rule that I have to touch somebody when they can see.
You like, why do you like snap over here, have them turn their head, and
stomp your feet. That's fucked up.
Come on, tell me that wouldn't be like, I mean, it'd be fucked up, but you would, I would probably watch it. I'd be like, I'd definitely be rooting for the blind kid, but I'd be like, oh shit, if you went like on the side of him and just like fucking, you know, 3-point stance and the football tackle the kid when he couldn't see. I mean, I probably would laugh. So, right now you're taking calls, you're taking options. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, like, so I was telling him before you jump back on, like, I'm working, I'm training in my spare time, I'm making good money, I like my job, I'm hanging out, but I'm 30, so I'm young, and I don't have any like serious injuries. I only got one knockout, so everything works well. I'm honestly got not in like a rush to like take, you know, scraps or whatever. Like, hey, you need to fight? Like, no, I don't need to fight. I like to fight, and you know, if somebody offers me something and, you know, they got a good setup, you know, I'm always willing and interested to fight different organizations, different fucking weight classes. Like, I'm a competitor, I'm an athlete. So, whenever, but it's not a scenario where I'm like chomping at the bit to get back in it. So
got it. Now your teammate O'Malley, they're saying him versus Dominic Cruz is the fight to make.
That would be a good fight to see. That would, you know, the vet and the new hot shot. They're both, you know, stand up guys that like to move on their feet and do some cool shit. I think the fans would like it. I think it would be a good style matchup to watch. I think it like on par with like Izzy and Anderson Silva. Like, you know, it's not going to be boring. You know, neither guys like to wrestle and ground and pound. They both want to move and do highlight shit. So it's a fun fight to watch. I imagine it would sell a lot of tickets. So it would be silly if the UFC didn't make that happen. I think both guys want that fight as well. It's a payday for both of them. It looks good for both of them. It makes a whole lot of sense, honestly. So
who wins?
Good question. I'm gonna have to go Sugar, honestly, because I think people think Sean is what Sean is on social media. They think Sean's like the cocky, flashy guy who only knows like spinning heel kicks and dyes his hair. But like they forget, like Sugar trains with like Tank and Tim and all the guys at the lab. Like Kyle, like people see how good Kyler is. Like him and Kyler have been training together since they were both amateurs. Like Sugar's good everywhere. Like Sugar can wrestle. I've wrestled with Sugar. I've showed him some shit. He showed me some shit. Like Sugar's good everywhere. I think the Cheeto fight kind of made him lose some hype because his ankle, and people were like, oh, he's a fucking, you know, one trick pony, like whatever. Like, you know, if you watched him at the quad grappling, like he had a jits match with Gilbert Melendez. He beat Melendez. He's rough. Like the dude can scrap everywhere. He's fucking good everywhere. So I think he's similar to Connor, where people forget how good he is because they get lost like in all the other shit that like he's doing, like all the marketing and all the hype, like in social media. They're like, oh, he's a hype train. Like, no, he just does it all. Like, he's fucking good. He's an athlete. If you talk to him, like he's humble. He's fucking driven. The dude like trains his ass off. He also just knows how to market himself and get paid. So I'm going Sean. I think Sean has the experience. I think he has the well-roundedness to win in different parts of the fight. I think stylistically for Dom, it's not awesome. I think it's similar to like Cody, where Dom likes to move a lot and he gets guys to overcommit and baits them into, you know, bad trades. Where Sugar is not that overzealous kind of fighter. Like he'll stand here and, you know, you can dance around and faint. Like he's gonna stand. He's not gonna chase you around, which is what Dom usually needs to capitalize on guys that chase him. And Sugar is, you know, 5'11", 6 foot. He can touch you from here. He's got striking out the ass. Like I think it'll be a good fight to watch. I think Sugar comes out with it though.
I like it. So where can people follow you on social media?
Probably Instagram. It's usually where I'm at. Tango_MMA. I'm on Twitter occasionally, but it's mostly just me ranting about shit. But that's where I'm verified though, which makes me mad because like I'm not on Twitter and they verified me, but Instagram doesn't verify me. But that's where I'm at.
Well, you're verified, Mike.
It looks cooler if I was on Instagram verified.
Dude, you and your girl look cool enough, right?
We'll take it.
You're good. Where did you meet her?
Back at ODU. She was on the dance team, and I was on the wrestling team, and we had some mutual friends, and I was like, ooh, damn, what's up, girl? Stephanie, you're getting lots of attention on the podcast right now because you're a baddie. And they were like, ooh, damn.
What was your pick? Now, how did you get back with her after you got divorced? What was that?
How did we get back? It's actually a funny story if you want to hear it. So I don't know if you know my brother, Ethan. We lived together this past year. We were both living in Scottsdale, paying a bunch of money, and it was stupid. So we were like, let's just room together, like whatever. So, and he watches Jace a lot when I was working. So we lived together. Him and his fiance got pregnant during COVID, one of the COVID babies, and they were going to need the extra room or my room for the nursery or a room for the nursery. And I was like, okay, well, there's no point in both of us moving out to, you know, find a new spot. So you guys can move in or move the nursery to my room and I'll find a new place. And during that time, me and her were on better terms. We hadn't really spoken like 3 years outside of you know, scheduling stuff for Jace. But we were on better terms and kind of talking about some stuff. And like playfully, it was like, oh, we should just get a 3-bedroom and move in together. And then we'll just like stay on separate sides of the house. And we did that. And then, you know, things kind of one thing led to another.
Come on. You kind of had some. Give me a break.
I did. See, it's funny. I guess it's naivety. I was like, oh, yeah, this will be fine. Like, everybody stays on their side of the house. And like, we just keep boundaries and like, you know, keep it very platonic. And I did. It didn't happen that way at all.
Who made the first move? Did you go in her room first, or she came in your room?
I mean, full disclosure, we were hooking up before we moved in. It was I don't know how to explain it. It was like, oh, like, hey, what are you doing? Okay, cool, come over. Like, it's very business, like, sexual needs, and then, yeah. So when we moved in together, it was kind of like, oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Got it.
You're in the mood. I'm in the mood. Cool.
Cute, but she's one of those girls don't realize like her body until you go on her Instagram. Because at the comedy show, I was like, oh, she's a very pretty girl. And then I went on her Instagram. I'm like, what the fuck? This is what's going on here? Like, she's like showing off her like, she's like, look at this muscle next to my ass. And you're like, yeah, that's what I'm going to look at.
I'm not going to do it. I just made friends with T. I'm not going to stalk his girlfriend's Instagram.
Meanwhile, I'm just trying to get the dog, and I got to scroll through
distractions and shit. Like, I'm trying to find information. You got your ass out.
Smart, because she's like, hey, like, look at this camel toe, and there's like a puppy in the corner, and you're like, wait a minute, like, this. No, I didn't. All right, so listen, T, you're a great guy, great fighter. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Sorry for the bad service and connection, but I will talk to you soon, brother.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Amen.
Take care.
Good luck, hey, buddy.
All right, that was T. Edwards. Nice guy.
Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? It's crazy how like normal some of these guys are.
Yeah, yeah. He was like very. He's like, he has a full time job as a software engineer.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah.
That's
he has like a full time job, and he said it was like software.
And then he just like beats people up, like
for fun. Because I'm athletic, I'll beat people up.
I'm athletic, so I'll just be in the UFC. It's crazy. You couldn't have someone do that, like. The guy on the Lakers is a full-time softball. You know, I just like basketball, so I'll just play in the finals and score 75 points, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. So what do you got coming up, Bill?
What I got coming up? I got hell, man, what I got? Well, I got a show in – when does this come out?
Probably tonight. If I don't know. It depends on
how about this? I'm headlining Houston on the 4th at a place called – I'll post on my Instagram. At Bill Dawes. I'm headlining this gig in Houston. I forget the name of the place. I'm so bad.
And you were just on a TV show, right, last week?
Oh, I just shot SWAT. I just shot a week on SWAT. So that comes out in like, I don't know, like a month or two.
What was your part?
I play a truck driver who is a vigilante attacking people who are sex trafficking.
Oh, that's actually good.
It's actually kind of cool part. I play like a white guy who's not like a white supremacist evil like Klans member or something. So
But you still get arrested for that or no?
Yeah, I still get arrested.
Oh, that sucks.
Because I try to like take off with this girl and they think I'm trying to like traffic her, and I was like, no, I'm with Truckers Against Trafficking, and I have a card, and I was like, Truckers Against Trafficking, what a corny line, I have to say. It's a real organization, actually.
I was trying to think of a Ted. Who's that senator from Florida? The guy who's in all kinds of trouble.
Oh yeah. Oh, Matt.
Matt Gaetz, right?
Yeah, Matt Gaetz.
I'm trying to think of a joke with him and Hunter Biden are going to be the new Bang Brothers. You know, like, but the problem is that he's like going for underage women, like. So then they're going, like, I'm like, people, oh, you think pedophilia is funny?
Oh,
like,
I know. Yeah,
something, but like, it's just like the Bang Brothers were kind of cool, you know? So it's like, you have to, like, they're starting their own Bang Bus tour. There's a joke there somewhere. I'm trying to think.
What I know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one, man. Because, you know.
I like it though. I think there's something there. Because you're also hitting both of them. You're hitting.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. That dude, man, what a fucking clown that guy is.
Good God.
They're saying that he was on the Senate floor showing videos of girls he fucked. and showing people pictures of girls he fucked on the center floor.
What?
Yeah, like, oh, check out this one, or check out this one.
Like, I mean, what senator is he showing it to? These guys are all like 90 years old. Are they like, hey, man, let me see. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's like
Pelosi. Hey, Nancy, look at this. That's nuts.
Pelosi.
She's not even a senator. That's how little I know about anything.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the whole thing is like, it's crazy. And then people were like, some girl was like on Twitter going, the guys really show pictures of like women they fucked. And then these guys are like, I don't know anybody, but there was a guy at work. It was a bunch of like hundreds of responses of people that knew somebody that did that. They're like, and they felt bad for not saying anything. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I believe it.
They've been torn up for years that they were quiet.
I believe this. It's like, dude, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. It's all bad. But yeah, I'm in Chattanooga. Doing shows this week at the Choo Choo Room. It's all trains. I'm in like a train colony.
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah, it was just cool. Oh, did it get it worked out? Not yet. So the Wi-Fi. They wonder if I got the Wi-Fi worked out yet. Because I'm going through my hotspot on my phone, and then I just got a text from my phone saying I have no more storage because of it. So this is like. But whatever. These aren't real problems. I mean, people are worried about like eating and like, you know, paying rent. This is like, you know, this isn't a, somebody got his finger ripped off and didn't respond. So what the fuck am I complaining about? Slow Wi-Fi, you know?
Yeah.
But listen, Bill, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course, man. Always fun.
Yeah. Sorry that like I interrupted a little bit. It's just, I think today was hard because of the timing was off, you know.
It's also Zoom, so it's always hard to know when people are, you know what I mean? Like, I probably interrupted you a bajillion times.
No, but it's Zoom, but also your picture is frozen. So, like, I could hear you, but your mouth looks like I can't tell if you're speaking or not. So that's also why, you know. But anyway, Bill, thank you. Thank you for doing it. I'm so honored to have you on the show. I'm getting a lot of people, they just call you the brown belt. They're like, keep the brown belt. Keep the brown belt. So
good.
So you're also known as the brown belt on these circles.
I'll take it, man.
And thanks. I like the Puerto Rican guy. He had a good energy. Huh?
He did. He had a lot to say. He did. I mean, in a good way. He had a lot to say. And I felt like it was hard because of all the, you know, technical shit.
Even his rooster was talkative. That rooster was the best. Anyway, have a good weekend, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.